Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Teaching the Blind to Cook. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca, and today is April the 29th. Today, we have an interesting article called Cooking What They Can't See, and we will be talking about blind people learning how to cook. But first, I'd like to welcome Eva to the show.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be back again, and I'm excited to discuss, you know, what we have today.
Eva, it's great to have you on the show. And since we're talking about blind people, I'd like to ask you, is there someone, maybe a famous person, past or present in history, who is an example of someone with a disability or with a challenge, but that you find very inspiring?
Yeah. Well, I love music. And I think someone with a disability has to be Beethoven. I think when he was in his 20s, he started to have like progressive loss of hearing.
Yes.
But throughout his 20s and 30s, he still wanted to compose, you know, and he was deeply passionate about music. So I think he devised different ways to, you know, whether harness the usage of his inner ear, you know, or just like improvise, you know, how he can create music. Of course, I can imagine it's very difficult for him, but
yes.
I think what I'm inspired by is like his passion for music, how he still wants people, he wants to reach people with his music, and that spirit of just not giving up and just staying true to what you love, I think has really inspired me.
Yeah, Beethoven is very, very inspiring because some of his best work was created after he started to lose his hearing.
Yeah.
And eventually he went completely deaf.
Correct.
So it's really incredible that he could make all this music, much of it from memory.
Because
you can't hear, like he can't just put his finger on the piano and hear it. Like there's a phrase in English we can say, you almost have to see it in your mind's eye. So when you see something in your mind's eye, it means you can't see it with your physical eyes, but you just know it. You can just see it in your head. And I think Beethoven had to just hear it in his head. Even though his ears were deaf, he still had to hear the music in his head. That's an inspiring example. Another example I'd like to give is Nick. He has a difficult last name. Volochik. Nick Volochik is an Australian motivational speaker and evangelist. And he was born without legs and born without arms because he had a genetic disorder. So when he was born as a baby, he had no arms and no legs. Now, Nick, today he is in his 40s, but he goes around the world and he makes motivational speeches to thousands and thousands of people. And he shows people that even without arms and legs, you can still live a very full life. And I think Nick's story is very inspiring. He can swim, he can skydive, he can draw, he can surf. He can do many, many things. Some things even those of us who have hands and legs, we can't do. So that's another inspiring figure, Nick Volochik. Okay, well, we are going to get into today's article, and we are talking about blind people learning how to cook. So the title of our article is Cooking What They Can't See. And we will talk about these blind people who are taking cooking classes so that they can learn how to cook, they can learn how to be independent, and then eventually go back into the world, whether it is to study or to go to work, and just live a high-functioning life once again. So let's get into our first reading for today.
Cooking What They Can't See. These cooking classes teach blind people life skills. In his old life, Jim Johnson was a biker, did drywall and concrete work, and had his sight. He never cooked. Johnson, 59, of Citrus Heights, California, became permanently blind in 2020 after a long-term battle with open-angle glaucoma. "Prior to being married, I popped everything in a microwave," he said. "I actually didn't learn any cooking skills until coming here." Here is the training kitchen run by the Society for the Blind, a 70-year-old Sacramento nonprofit, and Johnson is one of the 5,000 people who uses its services annually in the Sacramento area. The organization teaches blind people how to read Braille, use assistive technology, travel with the use of a cane, and perhaps most crucially, develop independent living skills such as how to cook a variety of dishes. "These people here make impacts in people's lives," Johnson said. "They changed my life and are still continuing to impress me, and it just makes me want to continue coming here and learning. You're never too old to learn." Sherry Raisler, executive director for the nonprofit, estimated that 85% of the people who have used the cooking center are low income. "They're either retired or they've been unable to work because of their vision loss," Raisler said. "And so going out to eat or getting carry out, it's not something they can afford to do."
We start the article with someone called Jim Johnson. Eva, can you explain Jim Johnson's background?
Well, he was a biker. He did drywall and concrete work when he had his sight. Drywall is a type of board that is made of two large sheets of cardboard and with plaster in between them. So you use it to cover walls, ceilings, and just put it all around your room.
So basically, like if you do drywall and concrete work, he's basically building apartments and houses.
Yes.
So he's like a builder.
Mm-hmm.
And then biker here. Now, are we talking about someone who rides a bike or someone who rides a motorbike?
I would say someone who rides a motorbike.
Yes.
Sounds very exciting and adventurous of him.
Yes. So he's an adventurous person,
correct,
right? Because like usually we think of biker, I think of those guys in the leather jackets, or guys and girls, it could be men or women, riding those big Harley Davidsons, mm-hmm, and they're wearing these leather jackets, and then they have these long beards.
Yeah.
Like we have a certain image in our head,
yes,
right? So these bikers, they're people who are part of a motorcycle group.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes motorcycle gang, but more often part of a motorcycle group. So he is probably a very adventurous and outgoing person.
Yeah.
But that was before. And then also, he never cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learn a little bit later that why he didn't have to cook, because he got married.
Yeah, that is true. Before marrying you, he popped everything in the microwave. That sounds a lot like me, actually. Very convenient. You just want things to be efficient and quick.
Yes. And that's true. Like many people, they don't start cooking until they get married or have,
mm-hmm,
children, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't learn any cooking skills. But there was a big change in Johnson's life. So here in the second sentence, we have a little more talking about Johnson. He's 59. It talks about where he's from, Citrus Heights, California. He became blind.
Yeah.
And it's not temporarily blind, because sometimes like you might, you know, have like some people have temporary blindness, but this, he became permanently blind.
Yeah.
So long-term blind in 2020.
Yeah, that sounds devastating. In fact, I would say, you know, to live a long life, being so adventurous, outgoing, and suddenly losing everything. So, you know, immediately, I would say.
Yeah, it's not easy. And then he became blind because he had a condition called open-angle glaucoma. And then here in our specialized terms, we define it's an eye disease that causes slow, symptomless vision loss, which means that there's not a lot of symptoms that make you feel like you're losing your sight, but eventually you will lose all of your sight,
yep,
if it's not treated properly. So then he lost this battle. It just means that his eyes got worse and worse until he became completely blind. But after he became blind, he started going to a special place. And where did he start going?
So he went to a training kitchen, which is run by the Society for the Blind. And we see that it is actually a long-standing institution, you know, 70 years old, and it's a nonprofit. And many people actually go there because, you know, they probably want to learn skills
yes.
and learn how to cope with going blind.
Yes. And then we learn about some of the skills that this nonprofit teaches. It teaches blind people how to read Braille. Eva, have you ever seen Braille? Braille is like the language of the blind because
yeah.
they can't see, right? So mm-hmm. they can't read the words on the page. And have you seen blind people read Braille?
I have actually. It's quite interesting. It's quite an interesting sight because they just have their fingers on whatever piece of document or book in front of them. And they're actually going across really fast.
Yes.
Because I think they're just reading it at quite a fast pace. And it's very interesting. They just go from left to right, up to down, and they flip the pages. And it's, I always wonder what's going on in their minds because it seems to be like they're understanding so much, but they're not speaking at all. And you can't really know what's going on in their heads, but they look like they are really having a good time because they're like understanding something, you know?
Yes.
And whatever's on the page is coming to life to them, I feel.
So basically, when something is written in Braille, it's like on the page, like there's basically, you can feel it with your fingers, right?
Yes, correct.
So when your finger feels the different part of the page, there are all these little, I guess you would call them dots, or
mm-hmm.
it's like they're raised,
yep.
and then different dots mean different things.
Yep.
So you like your fingers are doing the reading.
Yeah.
It's an incredible. It really is incredible sight, and it's amazing language. Like for those of us who can't read Braille, we think mm-hmm. it's incredible language. So okay, Center teaches them to read Braille, use assistive technology. Okay, assistive technology. This is an interesting word, but assistive technology is basically any technology that helps people who have a disability. It
yep.
could be something really simple like a cane
mm-hmm.
or a wheelchair, or it could be like if you can't read the screen, maybe it could be voice recognition software. So
mm-hmm.
they recognize your voice and then the door opens. It could be hearing aids for people who have gone deaf. So it's basically any technology that helps people with a disability. That's called assistive technology. And then so here we have, and also most importantly, what is the center trying to do?
Helping them to develop independent living skills, of which one of them is to cook and learn how to do many different types of dishes.
Yes, because if you are perhaps living on your own, then you will have to be able to do this.
Yep.
Like just like you could before you became blind or before you had your disability. And then so Johnson goes on to say, these people have here make impact in people's lives, and they change my life. And then what I really like about this part of the article, he says that you're never too old to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's 59 years old, now 59 is really not that old in today's world.
Yep.
But it's you can keep on learning. And then let's talk a little bit more about this nonprofit. So we have the head of the nonprofit. She's the executive director. So usually for nonprofit organizations, like we call the head, we don't call them the CEO, we call them the executive director. So the executive director, Sherry Rosler, what does she estimate? What kind of people come for help to the center?
So they estimate that 85% of the people here coming to the cooking center, they are from low-income families or they are of low income. So I can imagine that it's very hard for them every day to just find food, to make ends meet. And I think coming here actually would really help them because they learn not only how to cook while blind, but how to make things work.
Yes, a lot of these are people who are low income and then they need to be able to afford their own food. And
mm-hmm.
then we learn in the next line that, okay, sometimes they're either retired or they're unable to work because of their vision loss. A lot of jobs, like if you suddenly went blind, you wouldn't be able to do your job. Like, for example, our work here at Studio Classroom. Like, a lot of our work requires reading.
I would imagine that a lot of life actually needs your sight, you know, whether it's going out there, getting things done, turning things on. It's very hard, I can imagine, to live without your sight.
Have you ever tried, like perhaps like in a challenge game, you know, or at some camp where you got blindfolded and then you had to do something like really simple, like tire shoelaces.
Yeah.
And it suddenly became so hard.
I know. But what's interesting, right, I feel, is that when one of your senses gets blocked,
yes,
the rest of your senses actually get heightened, you know, whether it's your hearing, whether it's your touch. I feel that suddenly they become like very sensitive, you know, and that's when you rely so much on them because one of the other senses is taken away.
Yeah.
So for example, when I was in Singapore, I actually went to this place where it's called like blind dining, where it's pitch dark.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and I think they want to either emulate what blind eating is. So you get led to your table and you literally cannot see anything. So you have to feel around. You don't even know what you're eating, you know. So it's a good conversation starter, you know. Hey, what do you think this is? Oh, I taste a little bit of garlic. And you have to just maneuver the utensils yourself as well. And I feel at that point of time, you don't get distracted by people around you.
Right.
And you really engage in conversation. And you talk about things that really matter because you're not looking left and right. You're not distracted by your phone. You're not distracted by a random light somewhere. Yeah, so it was an interesting experience for me to do that, the dining in the dark.
That's really interesting. So is everybody at your table also getting this simulation of being blind?
Yes, everyone in the restaurant
is trying to eat while they are temporarily blind.
Yeah, pitch dark. Like, you can't even see your fingers in front of you. I don't know. It's wild, yeah.
That is really incredible. Did you feel the food tasted better?
I felt that I definitely had to eat slower because, you
right.
know, sometimes when you see the food, you're like, yeah, just grab and eat. And sometimes you don't even look at what you're eating because
right.
you are distracted by something. But because you cannot see, you really savor the flavors, you know, and you really feel like, oh, I never thought that egg tasted like that. Yeah, so I feel like I had to really slow down. It helped me to appreciate the food, the textures. Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
That is really, really interesting. I think all of us need to have some kind of
experience
like that,
yeah.
like once in a while to appreciate. And a question, how did you use a knife?
Yeah, so they try to give you utensils that don't require like a lot of cutting.
Right.
Yeah, so even the portions are like bite-sized, which I think is very helpful for people who are blind because you don't want them to be cutting too much and hurting themselves. So I think a lot of this assisted or progressive kind of skills that they learn across along the way really helps them because you always feel like, yeah, I can see, I don't mind being served a large slab of meat.
Right.
But if someone who is blind, you actually take the time to think, how can I care for this person better?
Yes.
You know, how can I make sure that whatever I give them or I serve them actually helps them and doesn't harm them?
Exactly, exactly. Because like so many, like just even the utensils that we're using, I mean,
yeah.
we're assuming that you know exactly what part to place it on. But
correct.
If you are blind, there needs to be another way around this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like maybe in this school, they'll teach you how to use a knife. And how to use a fork.
Safely, yes.
Yeah, but for those of us who have never been blind before, like just taking a knife is great danger.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous. That is really fascinating. Friends, if you ever go to Singapore, maybe you should go try that restaurant
yes.
that Eva tried. Blind dining. That is really fascinating. So back to this cooking center, many of the people that go, they're low income. And then because they're retired or unable to work, they have to learn to cook because going out to eat or getting carry out. Now, carry out is just another word for takeout. It's just food that you take away from the store. So carry out, getting carry out or takeout, it's not something they have money for. It's not something they can afford. So that's why they need to learn to cook. Well, on that note, let's get into our second reading where we talk about reclaiming your life.
Reclaiming your life. Losing sight can result in a long journey before finding comfort in classes like this one. Johnson thought his life was over when he lost his vision. He signed up for the center after hearing someone else talk about it. But a year passed before he was comfortable to make the trek. Having had no mobility training and living by a busy street, Johnson feared leaving his home. A lot of folks come here and they feel like all the things that they love to do, they're never going to get to do anymore, Raisler said. And then slowly, as they take these classes, they get to reclaim those things.
So in this section, we talk about reclaiming your life. So to reclaim is just to get back something that you have lost. And we start off the section talking about losing sight can result in a long journey before you feel comfortable. Just like Eva, just like when you went to this blind restaurant.
Yep.
And you're trying to get comfortable in the dark.
Yeah.
I think it must have taken a couple minutes to just get used to being in pitch dark.
Correct. It was very uncomfortable because I felt very insecure. Like, is there anything around me? Am I going to fall off my chair? Am I going to push things off the table? So these are the things that I think we take for granted a lot in life. And trying to relearn what you thought you already knew, actually, it's a lot of like memory. You think back on the things in your life and you're like, yeah, I know this, you know, let's try it again.
Yes, yes. I almost feel like this is like a lot of times when you injure yourself badly, you get a bad injury, like perhaps you break your arm or you break your leg. It's also the same thing because in the process of recovery, you also have to relearn those simple things you've always known how to do.
Yeah.
Like you've known how to walk since you were like maybe 2 years old. Mm-hmm. Like we all can walk by a time or two. And we've walked for a long time. But when you break a leg, you have to start learning, taking those steps that you've always had. And in a similar manner here, Johnson, you know, this is a long process. And when Johnson first went blind, he thought his life was over when he lost his vision. So vision is just sight. When he lost his sight, he thought his life was over. But then he signed up for the center. And then how long did it take between the time he signed up and then the time he actually felt comfortable or safe enough to go there?
Yeah, he took a year actually before he was comfortable to finally turn up at the center. And I can imagine the fear that he went through, you know, because not knowing whether it would help him, what they would teach him, and, you know, just the feelings of insecurity, losing something so important to you.
Yeah. And then just as a blind person, being able to get to the center. Here we have an interesting word. Here we use the word trek. And usually when we use the word trek, we talk about a very difficult journey that you make by foot. And a lot of times, like we say, oh, like trekking in the Himalayas or, you know, like trekking in the mountains. Like we talk about, you know, hard hiking journeys. We use the word trek.
Tough conditions.
Yeah. We don't usually think of trek when we consider going from one part of the city to another.
Yeah.
But in Johnson's case, it is like a trek. Why? Here it says he had no mobility training. So like at the time, no one had taught him how to basically get from point A to point B as a blind person. And he lived by a busy street.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's pretty scary. It's like a big trek. For those of us who have sight, it's an easy, like, you know, it's an easy thing to just walk out of your house, lock the door, and just go, like, take the subway or take the bus and just get there. But for someone like Johnson who had no training, this was a really tough thing.
Yeah.
So we have the word trek here. It was like taking a trek. And then how does Rossler describe the people going to the center?
Well, she says that, you know, a lot of them who go there, they feel like a lot of the things that they love to do, they're never going to get to do anymore. So I imagine it's like a huge loss of, you know, a part of your life that you spend every day doing, and then suddenly it all gets taken away from you. However, on the flip side, it's also, you know, after you get slowly integrated, you know, you take these classes, you get to reclaim those things. So everything that you thought you had lost because of, you know, losing your sight, you actually get to relearn again and enjoy.
Yeah. So this center provides like a safe place.
Yeah.
It's a safe place for people who have lost something. For many of these people who have lost their vision later in life, they come to the center. It's a safe place. It's very supportive. And then they learn skills that they already knew before, but now they have to relearn because now their situation has changed.
Yeah.
Friends, have you had a situation where you had to relearn a skill perhaps you had surgery, perhaps there happened something happened in your life where you have to relearn something. And I just remember some years ago, my brother had back surgery. And after his back surgery, he had to relearn how to walk. So sometimes it's not easy to relearn something. But I also want to say the humans are incredible. Like, we can relearn things. We are very resilient. So if you need to relearn something with effort and with coaching and with the right encouragement, I'm sure you can relearn that skill, whatever that skill could be. In the same manner as these people who have gone blind, they need to relearn skills. They need a good place to relearn skills. And this center sounds like a great place for them to relearn those skills. Well, friends, we still have a lot to talk about. We want to talk about how Johnson overcame his fears and also some of the things that the center does. So definitely come back tomorrow and join us for another edition of Advanced. On that note, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Eva.
Saying goodbye.
Bye.